I wonder what you are investing in. Now, I looked up some creative forms of investment, and I found whiskey, guitars, vinyl records, Lego, and football cards. Yep, you're all going out now, and you're going to start on those. The three highest returns on investments, although they have a high level of anxiety with them, high-risk single stocks, angel investing capital, which is a rather nice phrase for kind of basically giving money to startup companies in exchange for equity in them, and of course, number one, cryptocurrencies. Now, before I go all sort of Martin Lewis on you and you think, what the heck is going on here? I thought this was going to be a sermon. I want to say, and what's clear in Scripture, is that the greatest investment in life is in eternity. The greatest investment in life is in eternity. Because ultimately, when we sadly die, the one thing that we will be able to take and be assured of is our relationship with Jesus. And the reading in Luke is a natural continuation from Olivia's sermon last week. And I do apologise, we didn't record it. So it's lost in time immemorial, unless we kind of recreate it. It was the sermon on the rich fool. And there's something of that connection about what we are investing in here. Because Luke is stressing the importance of the right earthly priorities as a sign of our heavenly kingdom values. Our relationship with Jesus should be reflected in how we use our resources and what we invest in this life. Who does it honour? Who benefits from it? And of course, it can, not always, but it can distort our focus. The verse of the week this week is that one: for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's something worth pondering on as we go from here today. What is it that we treasure? How much of our time and effort does it consume? Because wealth and devotion can become inextricably linked, and dangerously so sometimes. And it seems here that there's a clear teaching from Jesus to downsize, sell possessions and give to the poor. Now, before you all think, well, that's easy for you to say, Simon, let me tell you my dilemma. I live in a house I'll never be able to afford. So when I retire, I'll have to leave it. And over 25 years of vicar ministry, what's happened is regularly people knock on my door. Hello, Simon. And they give me a box of stuff. We were clearing out X's house and we thought of you. And I can never say, that's lovely, but I don't want it. Thank you so much. That's so generous of you. And I take it in. I've accumulated so much stuff. It's frightening. And we downsized before we moved here. You wouldn't believe it. You've been in the double garage. So where is my treasure? Well, it's kind of lying around in the vicarage. But this sort of steady stream of accumulation, we need to let go because it can have a hold and it can consume our lives. At its worst, you know, I'm going to end up being a hoarder. How do I get rid of these things? And we're given two mini stories by Jesus of being ready for the Master's return, for God's return. There's be dressed, have your lamps burning, be ready at the door immediately for when that knock happens. And then that very enigmatic picture of the thief in the night being ready for something, being prepared for an event that is coming, but we don't know when. So we're invited in this teaching from Jesus to do the right thing and to do it now, not to delay in how we are investing, how we are spending our lives. And there is a glorious picture in those stories, those parables of Jesus, that when the Master comes back, He comes to serve his servants, you and I. So what should be our focus? What should we invest in the immediacy of now? And this is where the writer to the Hebrews gives us a history lesson. There's the great patriarchs and matriarchs. He lists them: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. Others are mentioned as well. And they made the right choice, the right investment, even though they didn't see the full extent of what was yet to be. They're commended by the writer for their faith. Faith actually is mentioned 24 times in chapter 11 of Hebrews. And I googled a good definition: an inner assurance that despite evidence to the contrary at times and not seeing, they confidently expected that God would fulfill his promises to his people. And that's the journey of faith: holding on to the fact that when God says something, it will happen. We don't know how, we don't necessarily know when, but it will. And these people of the past held on to that promise that God had made to them, despite circumstances working against them. Abraham didn't see the full extent of the land that he was promised, the home that was going to be his, the children. And it's great that we've got a child here today, because it fits in with that promise. The children and the children's children, the starry, numerous descendants. He didn't even have a child, and Sarah was past childbearing age. But God did what he said. He lived as if the fruition was coming now, even though he didn't fully see it. And we're called to do the same, in the hope of a better country, a better land, a better home, heaven. It's coming. And that changes how we invest, how we spend our lives, what we put our focus in. Now, I'm going to give you two illustrations, and I'm just going to give you a sort of government health warning on these, because I come out quite well after them, okay? I'm normally very self-deprecating. I normally will shoot myself in the foot when it comes to illustration. And that, so I don't want you to be thinking, oh, well, isn't that good for you, Simon? Okay? I couldn't think of any others, but I thought these give me, myself personally, a little bit of a glimpse of heaven, a small insight of what God has promised, what God will bring to its full extent and glory one day. I don't know when, but just let me give you a couple of glimpses. So last weekend we had our 40th wedding anniversary, and it was a marvellous glimpse into the love of family and friends, strangely enough for us. I mean, that was quite something to believe that people would want to come to a party that I was at. And there were words, there was laughter, there was joy. And despite the rocky road of life that we've all been on, it was a time to sort of pull into the lay-by, to relax and be thankful. And my daughters wrote us a poem. And I've got to read the whole thing, because I go all Mills and Boom on you here. But here's two of the verses. And I just got a glorious glimpse of what is yet to be, because of love invested, sacrifice made, primarily by Louise, not by me. And my daughters stood up and they read a beautiful poem. Here's two of the verses. Having little ones brings it home how much you did as we were grown. Our taxi, cheer squad, joy and grace, our constant love, our safest place. And it ended with, so here's to you, Mum and Dad, the best that any daughters could have. Through every twist, each thing you did, a life well loved, a love well lived. And, you know, it was one of those moments where, you know, I'm not a very emotional guy, really. I almost got a tissue out. I think a few other people did. But there's a sense that when we love, we begin to get a picture of its investment and the change it makes in everyone. And my sense was that at that moment, at that party, no one wanted to be anywhere else, with anyone else, doing anything else. Love was being displayed And that's what you and I are called to do as we follow Jesus. And the second, isn't Simon great as a vicar story, is the fact that I've got the privilege of flying to two places in Tanzania, Dodoma, the capital, and Mwanza up on the shore of Lake Victoria. And over the next 2 weeks, I'll be helping train 100 pastors who have little theological or biblical education. And yes, it's hard work. Yes, it's costly, literally and metaphorically in so many ways. But it is such a joy and privilege to see God's worldwide church and to recognize that there's something in that time, there'll be something over these next 2 weeks where my brothers and sisters will take something and they will invest it and work with it. And just in case I think, oh, isn't it wonderful that I'm there to give, I'm the one who receives in abundance over and over again. And my sense is that that is what we are all called to, a faithful action in this day, at this time. We don't always see the end results, but if we do it for God and we do it for his love, nothing will be wasted. And one day we'll be invited into the throne room of these greats mentioned in this chapter of Hebrews, and all are welcome. Moses is mentioned, and then Rahab the prostitute. Everyone is the possibility of God's grace and invitation. And this is how the chapter ends. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. One day we're going to have the greatest party ever with Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and Rahab and billions of others. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run the race with perseverance marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So don't give up. The Christian life is one of faithful endurance, occasionally getting these glorious glimpses of heaven. But invest well in your kingdom shares today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these glorious examples of those who've gone before us, who didn't fully understand or appreciate the magnitude of what you said and what you did through them. Help us to recognize that you want to do the same with us today. We're part of that legacy. So deepen our faith and our commitment to follow you and invest in this world our time, our treasure, our talents for your glory and the love of others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.